Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today we're coming to you with prophetic headlines. You know, when you, I don't know if you heard John Paul Jackson, you know, we brought John Paul Jackson's prophecies on VFNTV sometime back, and you can get the entire one, but kind of how he sees, you know, prophetic things was he was literally shown a newspaper by God, and certain headlines would appear on there. We'll make that all available to you on the VFN Torch today. But we're going to talk about some prophetic things that are happening so quickly, so fast, and some of the things that are just kind of shocking what's taking place. One of them is the very fact that you're watching what's taking place in Yemen right now. And believe it or not, we've surrendered another nation in regards to our presence of our country and the presence of our military. And we'll be talking about the fact that our leader, reportedly, allegedly, our Secretary of State, John Kerry, who historically, based on the 70s of what he said when he appeared before Congress, and I think some of the things that he said when he was running for president, he didn't think too kindly of the military, but we have to go back and check that. But from reports are that he asked the Marines, your sons, your daughters, your fathers, your mothers in uniform, these are the reports, to turn over their guns to the Yemen Houthis group there that's in charge now because the whole government's been overthrown. So who is this Houthis and why in the world the last thing a Marine would do would turn over their gun? You just don't turn over your gun. You don't turn over your weapon, but they were told to do that, obviously, because they serve under our president and the secretary of defense. But anyway, that happened. And so we're going to talk about this prophetically. Who is this Houthis and why did that happen? And why are we pulling out of all these different countries? We're pulling out of Libya and now we pulled out of Yemen. And, you know, what's taking place in the world today? And then we want to talk about this long running assistant of the president, a family friend who we talked about on a previous program. Her name is Valerie Jarrett. And the interesting thing of how she's connected to Iran and how the Houthis group is connected to Iran and how we potentially turned over our weapons to Houthis, the Iranian outreach of their military, somewhat like Hamas is to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, think about what's going on. What's happening in the world today? And you're going to see why in the world are they going to the streets of Yemen right now? And I'm in Iran shouting that we have defeated America. We have defeated America. And of all the things to be happening simultaneously right now, our president say, I'm ready to put troops on the ground in the Middle East. But after they're chanting that we've been defeated, they want to destroy America. They want to destroy Iran. And they want to put our fellow sons and daughters and mothers and fathers, you know, on the ground there in the midst of people who says they defeated us, to come against ISIS, which seems totally like we've talked about in regards to, you know, the rules for radicals and the Saul Alinsky model taking place and the world's being organized. I mean, what's happening right now? Well, first we want to do this. We've talked about, you know, John Paul Jackson, like I said, he sees the headlines. And today's like a prophetic headlines, you know, when you're talking about it. But I want you to hear John Paul Jackson's word again. It's just a little short thing, but remember the words. You know, the word was that they had a sequestration, which is a sequestration where they just basically cut all the budget across the board. You know, but including what's being cut is the military budgets being cut. They're just all the way across the board. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's causing the military to be less and less funded, less able to defend us in the context of that. And now, when you look back and you start seeing what was prophesied by John Paul Jackson with this headline, as a matter of fact, you're probably seeing John Paul Jackson right now, but listen to this word. It's a little short. I want you to hear this because he says he doesn't reveal something until he actually says it to his prophets first, through his prophets first. Listen to this word.
Another headline I saw, severe cuts in number of soldiers, severe military cut in number of soldiers.
So you're looking, I mean, it's just like, okay, that's some of the things that he saw. And we thought, well, how could that happen? Well, after that came the sequestration where they begin to cut and cut and cut. And every year things are cutting And I believe it's been for since 2011, not sure about the year, that every year it was being cut more and more and more. And now we're watching our military turn over their weapons. We're watching, you know, the NASA pull back from the space program. We're watching our influence and the presence of America throughout the world being pulled back and being said it's a positive thing. And as America pulls back, we're seeing darkness come in. We're seeing Islam come in. We're seeing radical Islam, I mean, come in to these particular nations. And I want you to see this. You got to see right now. This is ABC News reporting about, I believe it's ABC News, about walking through the streets of Iran. And what's look what's taking place right now. And understand our president is wanting to send troops on the ground, American troops. He's asking for at a time just like this when they're saying that they defeated us, they hate us, and just watch this. We're going to put these pieces together, but you got to see this. Would you want to send your husband or your mother or your daughter or your son to go amongst people that are declaring this to be able to fight against ISIS? And please go back and do the work in regards to understanding the rules for radicals, because that's all. It's a very simple thing being done, that this whole ISIS thing appears to be the militant movement that they say has to take place to be able to organize people to get them to do what you want them to do. And it's amazing how it is working in the Middle East. Watch this.
A rousing speech in Iran on the 36th anniversary of the revolution. But amid the chants of death to America, today the country's president hinting at cooperation. Right now, the international hotspot, Tehran, Iran. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Kessler in New York. Iranian President Rouhani's speech today took a slightly different tone than one we are used to hearing from the Islamic Republic. And in the address, Rouhani mentioned how we expect a deal to come through on nuclear negotiations that would be a win-win for all. ABC's chief global affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz was in the middle of it all and sent this report.
I'm Martha Raddatz in Tehran, among a million people who are gathered to celebrate the founding of the Islamic Revolution. And they're not stopping for me, believe me. They see this revolution as a victory over the United States, over Western influence. But this is also an incredibly pivotal time for Iran. Will they decide to some sort of compromise with the U.S. and others over their nuclear ambition?
We are here to say that we have our freedom, and we are here by our freedom.
They are right now listening to President Rouhani talk about this celebration, this victory celebration, they believe, on the 36th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, a victory over the U.S. and over Western values. All around me, you can hear chanting, death to America. The people have been extremely nice, coming up to me saying, you are not our enemy. Welcome, America. I'm Martha Raddatz in Tehran, Iran.
And Martha joining us now on the phone. Martha, I want to ask you, were you surprised about the tone and the context of this speech?
The speech by President Rouhani had a very wide-ranging. And at first, of course, he was just talking about their celebration of the 36th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, which, of course, Americans remember 1979 as the year our embassy employees were taken hostage for 444 days. But what President Rouhani talked about is a lot of things. He talked about the fight against extremists. He said, you've seen in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen that the power that could help those nations to counter terrorist groups was the Islamic Republic of Iran. On nuclear negotiations, he said, what we're offering is to reach a win-win agreement in which Iran will show transparency in its, what they call, peaceful nuclear activities, and the other side end its wrong, inhumane, and illegal sanctions. The sanctions are what they want lifted here, because you really can see the effect of those sanctions.
Martha, you were there in the crowd, as we just saw right there. What was the response then from the crowd when the President Rouhani was mentioning and rattling off those specific points there about this win-win possibility?
Well, I think, you know, you have to understand a lot of these people were bussed in. A lot of these people, I mean, they're truly the biggest crowd I've ever seen. So they're cheering Rouhani, everything he says. Believe me, this is a crowd that is there to cheer and do nothing else.
What about the president also praising Iran's anti-terror efforts in the Middle East, referring to al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and ISIS? This makes Iran a bit of an unlikely ally, does it not?
It is. It's the enemy of your enemy. A lot of people were talking about ISIS, and it was very interesting, Dan, because they would come up to me, and they didn't seem to be sure how Americans felt about ISIS. At one point, a woman came up to me and said, "ISIS are not Muslims. They are not Muslims. We hate ISIS, and you should hate ISIS." And I said, "We do." And she didn't realize that. And then another man came up to me and he said, "Please stop supporting ISIS." And I said, "We're not supporting ISIS. In no way are we supporting ISIS." He said, "Well, we hear they have your weapons. They're using your weapons," which, as you know, is true in Iraq. They stole a lot of weapons. But that here, to some people, just the people I talk to on the street, I can't certainly talk for all the people here, seem to believe that we intentionally supplied those weapons.
Maybe on a broader picture, then, how does it change the geopolitical landscape right now of the region there, with President Obama addressing that request
for
the use of authorization?
Did you hear what was said? I mean, if you go back and listen to Rules for Radicals, you know, are they using Lucifer's tactics to organize the world? You would have heard me systematically go through what God led me to go through to be able to explain what has taken place, because we were trying to figure out what's going on. You know, it's just a simple thing. It's called Rules for Radicals. It's a process of being able to go through these certain things. But one of the aspects that they talk about in being able to organize, you have to have a militant movement, and it's real difficult to sustain that militant movement. And they're chanting death to America. We've defeated America. And you're looking, it's like, what's going on here? And then they're saying, well, why are you supporting ISIS? Isn't it interesting the people that are close to ISIS know that we somehow have supported ISIS? They're thinking, you're the cause of this. And then you start thinking about, why didn't we defeat ISIS when they were small? And why did we stop this? And why did we back out of Iraq? And why did we turn over all those weapons? Remember all the weapons in Iraq? We just let them come in and start taking it. They had like pickup trucks, little small pickup trucks. And they came in and began to steal all the weapons. And we just gave the country over to the enemy. They shifted the leader of Iraq. And next thing you know, we have ISIS there. And these Iranians are saying, you're the one that's caused all this. Well, if, in fact, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is being used, these tactics, which he mentored President Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton, and they credit Lucifer in the front of that book for being the first one to use those kind of tactics to get his own kingdom, then it is highly probable that that actually is being taking place. But Iran is very important. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to show you how significant Iran is. And how come they didn't, when the Arab Spring was going on, how come they didn't just go and help Iran when the Green Party wrote a letter? It was sitting on the president's desk, and they're going, like, help us like you helped everybody else. But the president just let the letter sit on his desk. They want to talk about his assistant, Valerie Jarrett. Why did she advise him potentially? I don't know if she did. But she is born in Iran. We're going to talk about her being at Stanford University recently and making a quote. Her quote, we're going to tell you what she said about being born in Iran, being of the Muslim faith, and understand it's all the dots are coming together now. We were just talking about, you know, what is happening in Iran? Why are they shouting and chanting against us? And, you know, when Israel is going, listen, if they have a particular, remember the red line they drew? And you might be able to see a picture right now of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's standing at the United Nations and he has a big bomb being drawn. And he talks about a red line. What is the red line for, you know, nuclear weapons coming in Iran? He says, when that gets here, and that's when he said, you know, this America, this scud is for you. Do you remember that? And here we are at this particular point, and we didn't even stop them from doing developing nuclear, potentially nuclear weapons, but, you know, focusing on the nuclear centrifuges and all these different things. And it's like, we are getting so close. And they chant, we want to destroy Israel. We want to destroy America. And it's like, we have to begin. And they think, they're saying on the streets, And remember, they're saying what they're hearing, but what they're hearing or what they're saying is, why are you, America, giving weapons to ISIS? We had on our program, we had a reporter for CBN News, and you can go back and hopefully it'll be referenced here so you can see it. But this is what he said. He said, what's motivating these guys in ISIS? You know, what is their motivation? I mean, why? And this is what the CBN News reporter said. He says, they believe that President Obama supports them. And they have images saying that he supports them. I'm not saying that he does, but that's what the reporter was hearing from the ISIS soldiers on the ground. Then we watch protesters come in, Egyptian protesters hit the streets in Egypt, and we watch Egyptians and Muslims and Christians in America marching on, I believe, Pennsylvania Avenue, at least down at Washington, D.C., and they're going, why are you supporting a terrorist to be the president, President Morsi of Egypt? That we helped participate based on what they were saying in Egypt to bring Morsi into power. And Morsi was a senior member, reports are, allegedly, of the Muslim Brotherhood. And you think, oh my, you know, what is going on? And they were so upset. You know, why would America do that? And it's like, this are the reports that we're getting back. It's like the Arab people are saying, America is the one doing all this over here. Why would you even partner with the Muslim Brotherhood? And understand, the Muslim Brotherhood was outlawed in Syria, outlawed in Egypt because of the ruthless things that they'd done. When Morsi got into power, the Muslim Brotherhood began to immediately run the Jews out. They began to persecute the Jews and the Christians, and these difficult, terrible things began to happen. And also the Egyptian people, remember, came out. And they said they removed them from power and they put in a new person. And this president, Sisi, I believe his name is, of Egypt, he's friendly. He's like a Sadat almost in regards to being friendly with Israel. And it's like, you know, a reprieve there. But then you find out that the assistant to our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, Uma is her name. She is a daughter of a senior member. Her mother and father were senior members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And then we hear, and she was totally unvetted, which means they didn't even check her out when they put her in there. And this is what they're saying, what Congressman Michelle Bachmann was saying. And then Congressman Michelle Bachmann is letting us know, he says, they removed every mention or every item in the law enforcement libraries, like FBI and all, that mentions, I think it's over 1,000 mentions of where radical Islam was an enemy of America. They just removed it all. And why do they have on the advisory committee for the Homeland Security a member of the Muslim Brotherhood? And why are we partnering and bringing the Muslim Brotherhood into the White House? And why are we meeting with them? And why are they chanting this in Iran? Something is happening here. And who is this Houthis group? This Houthis group, as I was saying earlier, reports are that Secretary of State had our military Marines take their weapons and turn them over to the Houthis group. And they're the ones in Yemen now that are over, there's been a huge rebellion going on, an overthrow of what was there. And so this Houthis group is the one that's actually that's there. But when I look at Wikipedia right here, as a matter of fact, you can see it right here in Wikipedia, it tells us who this Houthis group is. And look over here, I'm going to point right here at the bottom up here. It says, they're allies of Iran. They're allies of Iran. You see, the Muslim Brotherhood reports are that the Muslim Brotherhood, when you see Hamas and you see Hezbollah and you see all these different groups, those are militant arms, allegedly, of the Muslim Brotherhood. I know that Kamal Saleem of Qum Ministries, when he was on VFN TV, he says, that's who they are. That's the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, who is the Houthis group? The Houthis group that's supposedly and allegedly taken over Yemen, they are the ones that we turned our weapons over to. So these Iranian allies who took over Yemen, allegedly, our leadership in the White House, Secretary of John Kerry reports are, had our Marines take their guns and turn them over to them, to the Houthis group, to the Iranian allies. But think about this. Take their uniforms off and leave an unmarked, unmilitary vehicle or something like that. They left in such a humiliating way. And now they're dancing through the streets going like, America's been defeated. America's been defeated. And our president, just yesterday, I believe it is, he comes on, or just recently, and says, now it's time to put soldiers on the ground. Well, now that we're hated, now that they say that we're the ones that armed ISIS, now that we left them and abandoned them, you're going to hurt us. And then you start thinking, So then I begin to look, and it's like, who is this lady that we've talked about, which is a friend of first Michelle Obama, before she was married to Barack Obama? Who is this Valerie? And we showed you recently an interview of her on CBS News, and she basically says, I was just going around Congress and speaking to the mayors in America. I have a warning for the mayors and everybody that's allowing the White House to go around the representatives that America has elected to be able to go represent them. You need to tell the White House, you need to tell them, you need to go to our congressmen, our congresswomen that we sent there. You need to go to our senators that we sent there, because that's called rules for radicals. It's how you organize things, that when the leadership's not going your way, you go around the leadership. Well, you don't do that. That would be a rebellion, going against what was established there. So this particular lady named Valerie Jarrett is the longest. She outlasted all the chiefs of staff so far in the White House. But she knew Michelle Obama before she knew Barack. Barack was introduced to her. We have that available. I wish we had that for you right now, but we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch today. And you can listen to Valerie. Valerie's going, you know, I was sitting here talking to Michelle. I was bringing her in to be able to work for me. In a government position, and she introduced us as Barack, or Michelle did, and she observed, quote, you know, how he listened to his wife, and this is a man that we could probably, ride to the White House, I guess you would say, you know, but either way, it was just amazing what happened. And so, who is this Valerie? Well, look over here at Wikipedia. Look what Wikipedia says right here. And Wikipedia says, okay, Valerie. She's a senior advisor to the president Barack Obama. She was preceded by Barry Jackson. Da, da, da. Da, ba, ba, ba. Oh, she was born in Iran. She was born in Iran. The assistant, the longest running assistant who actually chose Barack Obama early on. Remember, his pastor said, I believe his 20-year pastor, the one that married him and Michelle, he said that you have to understand he was selected before he was elected. Well, Valerie says on C-SPAN interview, when Politico is interviewing, she selected him. And it's like, so who is she? And she's born in Iran. So if we have the Secretary of State, think about it, we have the Secretary of State who has Uma, the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood leaders, unvetted according to Michelle Bachmann, and we have the assistant to the president, born in Iran, and you're not going to believe what she just, the statement that she made at Stanford University, according to Charisma News, what her goal has been all along. America, a storm is being fashioned, and we need to wake up. Church, we need to wake up. You know, I was asking Demetrius Dudeman's grandson, you know, Michael Badia, and I was asking him, I think he's in Ukraine or Hungary right now, I don't know, but I said, you know, are we Jeremiah? Or are we Daniel, or are we Josiah? You know, if we're Jeremiah, you know, in that season, we're just telling everybody, hey, we're about to go into captivity, right? And if we are Josiah, King Josiah, he saw what was wrong and he repented, and God just put everything on pause, the destruction, so it didn't come. But if we're Daniel, we just need to grab a broom and start sweeping. You know, which one are we? We didn't know which one. And so he paused, and, you know, Michael Bodea said, since I've known him when I'm talking, he doesn't pause, but he paused. And he says, I believe we're Jeremiah. And closer, it's looking like we're just talking about the inevitability unless we repent, unless we have to repent. The key is not understanding more news. The news is the warning. It's the Amos chapter 7 warning to let us know, God, we've sinned. We understand what happened. How in the world? Because this particular lady there that you're looking at, you know, Valerie Jarrett, she recently, well, she spoke, according to Charisma News, at Stanford University. And she begins to talk. She's Iranian born. Remember that, you know, when the Arab Spring started blowing across all the Arab nations and the Muslim Brotherhood came into power in Egypt, and there was women being raped. I believe a reporter allegedly was raped as well in the streets of Iran. I know that some women were kicked in the ribs. And, you know, by the way, Islam treats women, based on reports that we're seeing, very badly. Radical Islam, it's really sad. And I mean, we got to really pray for the women. Women in America, we need to stand up for the women of the world and say, you know what? You know, this is, you know, oppressing women is not of God. And so anyway, so in that, so they began to come in and say, we need to go over there and we need to help these Egyptians. We need to go over there, we need to help these different nations. Remember that? But when the Green Party in Iran, they wrote a letter to the president and say, hey, how about helping us? We did not help them. We didn't help the Green Party. We did not help. When all these same things were happening in Iran, we didn't help them. But the interesting thing, the one that's talking in the ear, as a matter of fact, this is what was said in the C-SPAN interview with Valerie Jarrett was, well, you pretty much are speaking into his ear. This is paraphrasing. In other words, you're the one, you're one of the ones. And she's like, yes, I am one of the ones. And so you'll notice she's in every scene that he's at. And she said, without his rebuttal, that she selected him. She saw that was this is the one. And she began to just, you know, work with him. And listen, now we're noticing this big push for, you know, Islam in America, Islam in the world. Look at all these nations being having a fight against radical Islam. This is what's happening right now in Nigeria. It's all across the world. We're looking at the first Islamic tribunal, the first Sharia court. Think about this. The first Sharia court is set up in Texas, North Texas. Come on, Texas. I mean, I don't know what's up, but, you know, you're freaking us out here. I mean, if all the states, we thought Texas would stand up and say, you know, we're for God and for this Constitution. Sharia law is the antithesis of the U.S. Constitution. It is the antithesis of the Christian scriptures, the Judeo-Christian scriptures, the Old Testament and New Testament in regards to who's God. And it's in Texas. We just had that on our program. You can see in a previous program. Okay, so we understand that Uma, the assistant to Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, is the daughter of a senior member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and her mother also was part of the Muslim Brotherhood leadership as well. I don't know if they're living today or not, but she is. Remember, her husband was the one they were trying to get to be mayor of New York. You remember that? And then he didn't make it. But that was Uma standing beside him, and bless her heart, she was totally, you know, had to go through a real tough time because her husband, you know, fall into some stuff and all that. But listen to what was said at Stanford University by the president's chooser, the one that she says she chose him and Michelle introduced him. It's amazing. Remember, John, can you let us know what was said at
sure.
University?
Charisma News is reporting this, and this is the president's senior advisor. And these are statements that she had said at Stanford University. And this is a direct quote here. I am an Iranian by birth and of my Islamic faith. I am also an American citizen, and I seek to help change America to be a more Islamic country. My faith guides me, and I feel like it is going well in the transition of using freedom of religion in America against itself.
So, I would say, ding, 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 we've got it. I mean, you always thought, you know, you always think, you always look, you go, well, that's the one that's in charge.
Well.
You know, you always go, well, that's the one that's in charge. And
Interestingly enough, it's been reported that of all of the personnel and the administrative staff that has been working with the president, the two longest serving staff members, if you will, is Attorney General Eric Holder and the senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett. And so, interesting, chief of staffs have come and they have gone.
Right.
And she's still
Well, she's not a chief of staff.
She's a senior advisor.
I believe, based on what the
the president's pastor had said, you know, and this is the one that married him, mentored him, and the one that he speaks about in his book.
Reverend Jeremiah Wright,
that you have to understand, mm-hmm. he was selected before he was elected.
That's right.
We have that for you on the VFN Torch. You can hear, you know, Jeremiah Wright saying that. And he said, God bless America. God bless America. Remember? And then he asked God to curse America.
Mm-hmm.
And it went across the entire world, I believe. And he says, America, your chickens have come home to roost. The next thing you know, he took a long cruise and we didn't see him for a long time. I don't know what happened with that.
No longer part of the team.
And we also, you know, heard that, reportedly, you know, if that recording is true, and we have it on the VFN Torch, that, you know, Pastor Jeremiah said to the president that, you know, the president said to the pastor, says, your problem is you have to tell the truth.
Mm.
You know, and I was thinking about it, I said, you know, why would you even say that? But we're looking, you know, according to what she said, according to Charisma News, why she selected him, it appears, based on her own words, you know, it's because she wanted Islam to come into America. She wanted to use the freedom of religion to be able to bring Islam in, our freedom, our own freedoms being used against us.
Mm.
And you think, what's the big deal? Well, this is the big deal. We're a Judeo-Christian nation, which means this, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God, not God of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael.
Mm.
It's a big difference. That's a huge difference. And I want you to tune into our next program because we're going to show you the contrast between the two. So it's like we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads where we're going to have to make a decision. We can no longer try to play all the sides. We've got to say, God, are we for you or are we against you? And this is like the days of Elijah when you think about it. You know, and God allowed that point of decision to come in. And he wants to forgive us. He wants to, I mean, he would just take us out. He's letting us know so we can turn. And I personally believe that, you know, you're going to hear what God says and we're going to repent. We're going to say, God, we want you, forgive us. We've went astray. You know, that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing. And that's what I'm believing for. But you have to do something. You're going to have to respond. And so in the aspect of that all of a sudden you're looking at the reason why the Constitution is what it is, the reason why the Declaration of Independence was written, and we're going to make those available to you so you can read them again. He says, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that all of our rights come from God. But listen, there's a million supposed gods, but there's truly only one God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, you can make many things gods. You can make wood God. You can make money God. You can make people God. You can make yourself God. You can come up with all these different forms of religion you want to. But the truth is, there's one creator of the universe who is God, who sits enthroned in the center of the universe, who gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be able to communicate to us his love and to pay a price for us to be able to come back or come into a relationship with him. It's Jesus Christ. And if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, then we enter into communion with God. He gave his son to be able to die in our place for our sins. That's what he did. He loves us so much that he died for you. All these other religions, they expect you to die for their God. Our God died for us. That's true love. And he took on our sins. If you notice, all these false religions, they have you take on all the burden. It's unrealistic. They beat you, stone you, cut your hand, cut mm-hmm. your head, cut everything. You know, have all these laws, these systems, these rules and regulations. And Jesus said, I take all that on me. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was whipped for our own transgressions, you know, and by his stripes we're healed.
Yeah.
That's the difference. But now it's like this whole pinnacles is coming, this whole epicenter is happening in the world in America right now, and we're gonna have to make a choice. Just, you know, not every single American, the ones that actually call themselves Christians.
Right.
Which is supposedly the majority. It's 100,000, right?
The majority, yeah. 100 million at least.
100 million. 100, how many? 100 million, 100 million, man. So we just got to make a choice.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Elijah. Think about what happened in the days of Elijah. I mean, of all the things they did, remember, John, he created these, he said, okay, bring all your little
Bring them out.
Bring all your little stuff and your things and do your little dance and cut yourself, pierce yourself.
Whatever you need to do.
Scream, holler, you know, call out to your God like Kamal Saleem said. I called out to that God. He called out to Allah. He said it was Allah or Muhammad he was calling out to because he's wondering what was going on. He said, I heard nothing. But then he called out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he answered, and he gave his life. He went straight from radical Islamic terrorist, you know, to a Christian.
That's right.
In love with God because he met God. God's real. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Some huge moves of God are taking place right now in Northern Africa, in the Middle East, where God is just so – Jesus is showing himself to a lot of Muslim people, a lot of Arab people, and it's just so exciting because God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. But listen, this stuff about – you know, rules, regulations, Sharia courts, and all these things taking place. And so what's going on? Based on what we're seeing now, that the world is being organized using the rules for radicals, the simple process that according to the book, Rules for Radicals, you can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. On the back of it, I believe it's the Chicago Tribune, talks about these two people were mentored by Saul Alinsky. One is Barack Obama. The other is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State, she is wrote her term, her thesis paper, when she graduated from university on Saul Alinsky. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, she wrote it on the methodologies and all that. And I have a term paper, you know, sitting on my desk right there, and you can see it online. Maybe we'll make it available to you. You know, and that's just the, you know, a mindset of, okay, this is what I think is good. But the thing is with us, with Christians, like, there's only one God. And if you put yourself against God, it doesn't end well.
Ask
Herod, ask Korah, ask all the ones that have put themselves against God. And so it's time for us to be able to make a decision. When we get back, we're going to unpack that. What does that mean in the context of where we are in America right now? We're really close to a crossroads. We can either go... You can go the way of Cain, you know, or we can go the way of the Lord. And we got a choice right here. This stuff about multiple choice and there's all these different – it's like we have a choice. We have a choice right now. And we get back, we want to talk about that because now is the day – today is the day, and we have to wake up. I mean, just I know we got to go to break, but, I mean, you just talk to people who call themselves Christians. You talk to pastors. You talk to people who are in religious programming and all that. It's like – don't you understand the time and the season? You know, you think about Issachar. Issachar knew about the times. He knew about the season. It's like, you don't even know what season we're in. You know, and there's going to be physical attacks on America. There's going to be physical attacks. Some of the reports, according to some of the ones that are hearing, of course, Rick Joyner is one of them, is that they're going to be so bad, they're going to be worse than what we saw over in Al-Qaeda do.
That's right, in ISIS.
In ISIS. And what we're seeing take place, what happened just with the pilot being burned.
Burned alive.
Yes, it's just horrific. We need to wake up. God will stop this if we'll repent. That's what he said. If we'll acknowledge our sin, and we got to get back into the word of God again, and we got to begin to hang out with God and just say, lead me. I'm all yours. Everything God's yours. Just I'm all yours. Listen, God can stop this thing on a dime. So what is going on? When you think about it, what is happening here? And people are making war against God.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on? People are making war against God. You know, look at Acts chapter 4, you know, and they're talking about this. And what they're talking about is what David said, King David. Mm-hmm. And this is the birth of the church. So it's nothing new under the sun, just like Solomon says. But when Peter got arrested and they're coming out, this is when they're talking to God. They said, you know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, he says, you know, they're praying. They said, sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage against you? Think about it. Why do nations rage? Right now, nations are just raging. Can you just see them? You know, you just see them raging. You see all the people that was in the streets of Tehran, Iran. You see Yemen. You see Libya. We've seen America, but we're going to see even more rage happening in America. He says, why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot in vain? That's a very important word because sometimes so many people, you know, people let fear take over and think it's going to work. And it's like, no, it's in vain. Mm-hmm. God is for real. God is real. He's not a figment of your imagination. He is real. He's not what other people said that he is. He's God. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. He's totally in control. He holds the king's hearts in his hand. He's God. So all this plotting that's going on, all this plotting that appears that Valerie Jarrett is doing, that Uma's doing, Secretary of State, former Secretary Hillary Clinton, and reportedly John Kerry, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, you know, allegedly, according to Pastor Meyer Jarrett Wright, his former mentored son, now President Barack Obama, his pastor. I mean, it's all in vain. It's not going to work. You know, and if you're thinking about how you're going to survive in this lifetime, you've already been defeated already. Because it's about eternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people are believing in a false God and a false eternity where they're going to have like 90-something virgins and all these different kind of things? And they're just they're totally committed to something that it's not even real. When you say and you profess that you serve Jesus Christ, who said, I am going away to prepare a place for you. And where I'm going, you know, I'm going to come back for you. This is the God that we serve. This moment, he says, this is the days of your trouble. This is what Jesus said. He said, as a woman travails for birth, she gives birth and it's very painful. But he says, but once the baby's born, then she forgets about the pain because it's such a beautiful experience. He says, this is the days of your trouble. So this stuff about trying to stay out of trouble and try to stay out of storms, listen, we got to stand up for God. All this plotting is in vain. It's all in vain unless you believe it, unless you buy into it, unless you surrender your soul to the adversary.
That's right.
You know, stay faithful to God. And then he says, you know, and they're praying to God. He says, the kings of this earth raise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against these anointed one. You know, as a church, you're the anointed ones. You're what? And it's like the enemy wants to come against you, believers, mm-hmm. and come against the Jews and the Christians on the earth. And they're banding together right now. They're organizing and ISIS and all these things are happening. And it's like, but it's in vain. And they said, you know, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city and conspired against your holy servant Jesus. They're not conspiring against you. They're conspiring against God. This is a war between God and Lucifer. Mm. You have his servants raising up in the name of religion to come and destroy Jesus' servants, sons and daughters, and the Jews. That's what you're seeing going on. It's a war between Lucifer and Jesus. And let me tell you, Lucifer's war is in vain. He's not going to succeed. There's going to be a day that people are going to walk up to the pit where he's going to be thrown, and they're going to look down there and going to go, like, was you? You caused this big stink? And not that many people believed in what you've done? Mm. And he said they're waging war. This is a war against God. Think about it. It's a war against God. This is the question is, you can't play both sides. Mm-mm. You can't, this double-mindedness and this stuff like you're trying to be politically correct and all, PC is going to put you in hell.
That's right.
Being politically correct. You know, I think about this, and we got to close. We want to close in prayer here. There's so much words being brought to our attention, but I think about Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, when he says, you know, we got to quit being so politically correct because it's going to destroy America. Well, definitely it will destroy us as a believer if we start trying to get the acceptance of all the majority of the folks, and you'll never have it. What you want is the acceptance of God. That's what you want. And he loves you. He has a plan for your life. But he's saying, will you choose me? Here it is. We're at the top of the mountain, Mount Carmel. Fire is definitely coming down. Choose today who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, this house right here, I'm going to serve the Lord. Mm. What are you going to do? What's the choice you're going to make today? You know, we shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org, just to encourage you, to let you know that, hey, God saves all of us if we just call out to him. But right now, I just want to pray with you. I want to, you know, join together and just join with us right now. And John and I and those that are in the studio, we're going to pray with you. This is important just to call out to God. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you've opened our eyes. You said that farmers know when to plant and when to harvest, and they can see the season, but your people don't know. Now you've let us know the season. It's like the timings of Issachar. You're letting us know what's taking place. But dear God, I pray that you would get this word out, Lord God. And that those that are listening, Father God, that you would soften their hearts and they would turn back to you, Father God. and that you would comfort them and show them, Lord, that you are stronger than anything the enemy can do, Father God, that you would keep this country, Father God, and turn it back to the Judeo-Christian nation that you called it to be, and restore us, Lord. And we believe the best days can be ahead of this nation, Father God, if we put it back into your hands. We ask this, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, today, save Valerie Jarrett. We pray that your kingdom would come right where she is. Speak to her in her sleep and let her know, Father God, that you can save her and shift the paradigm of the White House, Father God. Push back radical Islam. We choose you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.